This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Funky Friday happening here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. It's going to get real funky because I believe Figgy has a treat in store for us that is off the beaten path.
A tasty treat. Yes. For y'all. Well, we all going to try it.
All right. Okay. Very good. I'm looking forward to that. We're also going to play a little word association about opening day for your Astros, in which they got a 3-1 victory over the New York Mets. And in What's Poppin', I was mentioning some of the other Astros, recently departed Astros, what they did. And a fair point. Ocho brought up, I forgot Ryan Presley. You're right. He closed it down for the Cubs, but he did it in kind of typical fashion. He allowed a couple of hits and a run. He had a 5-run.
So Ryan Stressley.
A couple of hits and a run.
Yeah.
Ryan Stressley.
And closed it out.
But he got the three outs.
Yeah.
And he got the win. But you could pitch a little different when you have a 5-run cushion. The only problem is that, is it going to be any different if he has two?
Hey, did you lose the game, though? Like, did you die?
Did you die, though?
Did you die?
Did we win the game or not?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the Ryan Presley experience, I guess. All right. Lopez, we're going to play a little game of word association, no?
Yeah, Astros-related word association. After game one, we were talking earlier about some reactions and overreactions. So I want to just get, like, first thing that comes to mind when I mention this name, based on
yesterday.
Yeah, based on yesterday. All right? Cam Smith. What word immediately comes to mind?
It's going to have a negative connotation, but it was kind of overwhelmed.
Okay.
Like
I could see that.
It was a big moment, right? He had a contingent of like 30 people in the stands there to watch him. There was a lot of love that they had for him. Mm-hmm. And also, you could see the ways in which, in the outfield, right, when he was getting up there, it was a little tough to get to that. And I mean, one of those balls that came in, just a little shallow left. Or it wasn't shallow left, but it was shallow from where he was standing. And he was trying to come in on it. Couldn't get it. And it, you know, bounced away from his glove. And then even at the plate, I think I mentioned this to you, he got a hit early, which was cool. But even that hit, you could see he was a little late to the ball.
He was nervous.
There was nerves.
Yeah.
That's probably the better word is the nerves, right?
Yeah.
So there was that. And you could hear it a little bit. You could tell he was taking in everything. I think, Figgy, you have, this is him talking to Julia Morales after the game.
Take me through the process that you had to go through as you walked up to the plate for the very first time. And what did you tell yourself?
Yeah, I mean, an incredible feeling. They weren't playing about, you can feel the fourth deck. I asked Joe a couple of days ago, I said, are they going to fill those seats up all the way up there to where I can barely see? He said, you'll see. Yeah, so I felt that energy, and it just like, it feels so good to be home.
Getting that first hit, too, what did that do for you?
I think it settled me down a little bit, but at the same time, like, you know, I want to keep going. I want to keep helping these guys win. So I'm just glad we got the win today. It was a great game.
I do want to know also how it felt or what it made you feel when you ran out to right field and you got that standing ovation and the crowd was going nuts for you.
Yeah, I think that was the best feeling I had so far. Beyond the hit, I think going out there for defense, like waving to the fans, that was the best feeling.
Figgy, I want to get what your word association is with Cam, but that one fits exactly with mine. Mine was wholesome. It was just a wholesome story, wholesome moment. I mean, it feels good to be home, and it's just like all that stuff, and just the way his whole story has gone. Hopefully it just continues. What word popped to mind after yesterday for you?
Star question mark?
Okay.
Oh, I see.
That's the first thing that popped up, because yesterday I tweeted. I'm like, man, I'm thinking about getting an Astros jersey. Which jersey should I get?
Yeah.
The overwhelming name that kept popping up was Cam Smith.
Yep.
Cam Smith. I got a couple Yordans, but it was mainly Cam Smith. I'm like, man, are we looking at like I don't want to call him a hometown star because he's not from here, but it feels like he's from here. It got the feeling of a hometown star.
It's new blood, man.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, and he's got all the ingredients. All right. First word that pops into your mind, Figgy, I'm going to start with you this time. Framber Valdez.
Ace? Question mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mine was stellar. That was a stellar performance. Got a huge double play ball. Sixth inning, I believe. Obviously, you know, went through there and you know, seven innings, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise. A little bit. Four strikeouts. Didn't give up a run. Just a stellar performance by Framber.
Yeah, and play along as the 3-4-6 is. They said exciting for Cam Smith. Mm-hmm. On the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4.
The Texas Hammer!
Thanks, Jim. Professional. It was a professional outing.
It's a good one.
For Framber. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came out early, and then I got concerned, and I don't know if I texted it to you guys during the game where I was like, man, you know, you look at the way that he started losing command.
A little bit in the middle.
And yeah. I was like, oh, man. And then it tightened right back up as soon as Juan Soto stepped up to the plate.
Like,
right? Like, shake that off.
Slapped himself in the face a couple of times. All right, no more messing around here.
Right. And so he got right back into it. And then ultimately, the thing that got me is I look up and I'm like, damn, that was seven scoreless innings, right? Mm-hmm. It was just professional. There's going to be some ups and downs or what have you. As a pitcher in the majors, you're going to go up against really good batters. They might, you know, they might win the battle, but he 100% comes out and he did his job and more. Seven innings, you went right to the part of your pen that you feel confident about.
Yeah.
He did his job and a little bit more, as you expect from Framber.
All right. First word that comes to mind, Reggie, Jose Altuve. I said first word that comes to mind.
Exciting. I'll still go with exciting.
Can be interpreted several ways.
Yes, it can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to utilize all of those, because that moment where he comes through and side swipes my Jake Myers in left field, it was like, hey, man, what are you doing? But at the same time, in the emotion in front of that was, oh, yeah, he's enjoying himself out there, which I appreciated.
He was determined.
I was trying to find a word that would also fit the feeling that I had, where I was like, oh, that's right. Jose Altuve is going to swing at the things that he swings at, and you just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's fine. I will lean more on the idea of him in left field, you know, looking like he is fully up for the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
He's up for the ride. He's going to enjoy it. And we just have to deal with the fact that there's going to be some ups and downs with that.
This might be two words, but I was going to say cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Okay. We can hyphenate that.
Cardiac. Because that first inning, I was just like, oh, my God.
That could have been a disaster.
Like, it looked like a car just ran through a red light and almost hit another car. I'm like, oh, my God.
Y'all see that?
That's such a good point.
Oh, my God.
Y'all like, see how they almost missed it, hit each other?
I did that yesterday. It was two cars trying to get over at the same time in the same lane on the freeway.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
So before you move on to the next one, for Altuve, Gold Glover, that's hilarious.
Oh, gosh.
Somebody said Cam is already approaching darling status, so darling is the name.
All right.
Word that they use there. And then with Framber, and this is a good point that I didn't mention, they said that they're just glad that Framber didn't let the ump get in his head. And that's not a single word, but that is a good point, right?
Yeah.
That has always been the question.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the professionalism, he's in that place where he's able to handle the mental aspect of this, which, you know, he's worked heavily on.
Yeah. My word for Altuve was capricious. Unpredictable.
Go ahead and hit the drop. I didn't want to.
Oh, okay.
Where am I?
remember my damn
job. Don't worry about it. You missed it. It's too late.
Capricious.
First of all, you're throwing too many big words at me. Okay, now, because I don't understand them, I'm going to take them as disrespect.
I want it noted that it wasn't me this time.
Jeremy Pena and Brendan Rodgers. We'll do a combo here.
Jeremy Pena and Brendan Rodgers. I don't know if the word came to mind for me. It's like,
oh, I'll start this one. Mine was nails.
I was going to say cool.
Nails. You know, you got what you know, that snag in the first inning.
Yeah. Oh, dog. How am I forgetting that? That was incredible.
That snag in the first inning from Pena, and then a beautiful, nice, crucial, ultimately, double play in the sixth inning. That was nails. That's what we got to count on.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. And it was good seeing him on the base, Pena on the base paths as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could put those two together, I would probably say lockdown.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
That was the whole objective of making the move when it came to second. Mm-hmm. He looked like that. Now, don't ask me about Brendan Rodgers at the plate. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we're talking about that a lot.
Hot boy summer. All right, guys.
Brian Abreu.
Uncomfortable.
I said nervous.
Yeah, nervous. Yeah. I'm going with nervous.
I mean, he got out of it, but that's when my wife walked into the room and said, all right, they suck. I was like, that's a little harsh. It's a little quick. Like, okay. And then she was happy. But nervous.
And I don't know that I have a different word for Josh Hader.
Josh Hader.
I don't think I have a different word.
I got one.
Y'all want to hear mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
Overrated.
Wow.
Overrated. Or even overpaid.
Oh yeah, man.
Overpaid.
Yeah.
That's the part that. But he still ends up getting it done right in the way that you need it. I was just like, yo, they are throwing a lot of pitches early, and mm-hmm. I wonder how much of this is just this early. They'll find a way to settle down, and also you're gonna have some of these instances. But I was like, how much of this is what I'm in for over 162?
Well, it's funny you say that,
boys,
because my word for Josh Hader is deja vu. Like, we've seen this way too much.
Yeah,
like, he had a really good year, but we've seen this way too much. I mean, like,
from a closer?
Oh, my gosh. $90-something million closer? It's like, come on, man. Make it easy. But it's not going to be easy all year long. All right. Christian Walker.
Worthwhile.
It's a good one.
Solid.
I'm going to say upgrade. Yeah, I think it's a definite upgrade. I think we're not going to have to. All these conversations we had last year about first base, I think they're over.
Well, I feel like, and I'm trying to sell my word to you now. Mm-hmm. The word worthwhile, because people talked about it's an overpay to get him, but you needed him. No, it's feeling like it's going to be worthwhile having him there for the production that he's going to give you at first base. He hit a 110,
mm-hmm.
a 110.4, and then like a 106 when it comes to exit velocity.
Yeah.
And I think he ended up being like one for three for when it came to those. But I was like, okay, so the ball is just going to jump off his bat, and he's going to find it's mm-hmm. going to find the space. I think I texted you guys about the first one.
Yeah.
That the expected batting average on that swing was like 72%. Like, that is expected to get down 72% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so even in this instance, if he's hitting the ball well and maybe it just finds a glove in this instance, more often than not, that will find the spaces and you'll get 100% of what you pay for out of him.
Yeah. I mean, there are no words for me to describe how much life is going to be easier with Christian Walker, you know, at first base. I really like the addition. I really like his leadership. I think he's going to be a leader. I think it's going to be really good. All right. Last one. Go ahead.
Can I bounce back one more time to go back to the Jim out of the Texas Hammer text line?
Yeah.
Hater. Liability. Overpaid.
Damn.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else said, who's going to relieve today? Which is also a great question, because I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? How many pitches?
25 pitches from Abreu, I believe, and 30 from Hader.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like, who's closing this thing down tonight? I have no idea.
You're a closer, right?
Yeah. Call McCullers up. No, just kidding. All right. This last one. Tell me the first word that comes to mind. Word association. It's not player related or team related other than Daikin Park.
Huh.
Mine was meh.
Yeah, I was trying to find a word that would kind of capture that.
Meh.
I was kind of trying to find a word to capture that.
Maybe it'll grow on us.
Tricky.
Tricky is a good one.
Because multiple people came up with that situation where they started that, Daikin Park.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know on the broadcast. Yeah. You got multiple people on the broadcast as well in that place.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to take a while for it to settle in for us.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Lopez on here. Kind of meh.
Yeah.
Like, I see people trying to make the ice spot stick. Mm-hmm. And maybe that will stick. I'm not sure. But it's a little tough saying Dyke in part.
The thing about Minute Maid is it just seemed right.
Well, I think also,
Dyke and Park may eventually seem right. Doesn't seem right now.
Yeah, and that's fair. When it comes to naming things, I think sometimes we put a little too much stock on the name on the front end. I tend to believe that names are built through the nostalgia of experience. And I think that as we spend time with the name Dyke and Park, we'll have other things to attach with it.
Yeah.
And I think it'll land for us.
But I think the other thing is, like, we know what Minute Maid is.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Oh, I got that question a lot. I've got
like Dyken.
What is it?
What the hell is Dyken?
Yeah.
So that's, I think that would make it tough.
I think that's a big factor. Like, wait, what is it?
Yeah, if it was like Pepsi or something like that, that would be a little easier. We know what Pepsi is. Yeah. But like, what the hell is Dyken?
And of course, the obvious jokes came in for you, Lopez. I'll let you view those on the text line.
Mm-hmm.
Subaru? What does that mean? Somebody's just like, Subaru is what is.
We're not going to call it that.
What, Subaru?
No.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
Of course. Somebody said awful. Interesting. Okay, so you really not liking it at all. Mm-hmm. And then Walker, I appreciate the liberal use of hyphens. Professional hitter.
We're going back to that?
Oh, yes. Goodness.
Professional hitter.
We're going back to
Michael Brandt.
That's
Bradley.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I would love to have.
He's a professional hitter.
You were wearing your Uncle Mike shirt earlier
I was,
this week.
Yeah.
I do like this one. Did you mention Adventuresome with Altuve?
Oh, I didn't. But
that's a good one.
We're going to have some
roller coaster.
It's going to be an adventure.
Easy word for Walker was upgrade, they said. Mm-hmm. And then what's in the back of the train now? Big old baseballs, baby. Big old baseball. And I was kind of sad. We didn't have an opportunity to get that thing moving. Maybe today.
Oh, that's right.
As your matchup, Tyler McGill is the right-handed pitcher for the Mets. And then Hunter Brown goes for your Astros.
And McGill gives up those hard hit balls, huh?
Yeah, so I was looking at the StatCast numbers, and of course it's from last year, so we'll see if this remains the case. But high barrel percentage for him, and a high percentage of hard hit balls, so maybe you actually get...
So who's going to hit the first home run?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I was really hoping when Chaz came in as a replacement late in the game, I was like, ooh, maybe we will get this situation where I was talking about with the drive where they get their white boy Chaz home run and then he bunted. And I was like, all right, I can
respect that. Text that in as we get into confessions here. Who's going to hit the first home run today?
Okay, yeah. Let's get those. I'm interested in who you think will hit the first home run for the Astros as they face off against the Mets for the second game of the series. It'll be 7:10. It'll be on Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus if you're trying to get a view of this. And in fact, shout out to Payne and Pendergrass. They had a Heidi Whitney. Okay. I'm going to bail out because I smoked that.
They had what?
Who?
That was not.
Tidy Whiteys.
That's what he said. They had Tidy Whiteys.
All right.
Seth and Sean wore Tidy Whiteys?
I smoked
that. Stephen A. Smith
they
stuff.
They might. Wait, what was the underwear that Seth had on the table up here?
No, they were tidy, but they were not white.
Boxer briefs.
Yeah.
Heidi Whitney. There we go. Who is the sideline reporter for the Apple TV Plus coverage. All right, I'm going to get out of this segment now because that was very poor. Coming up next, we'll do a much better edition of Lunchtime Confessions. Next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
All right, so I got to open my phone for my first confession here. Because one of the best things we do in sports, you guys, and I'm sure our listeners can absolutely relate, is text with our various friend groups during a big game. Right? Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely love doing that. I think everybody does it. So I'm looking at my text group with the Bite Me Crew is what I call it.
Okay. Did you name it that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I put names on all my groups.
I know.
I put names on all my groups. I think it's easier to just call up the group, like if you haven't texted them in a while. So anyway, I went with the Bite Me Crew, which is Captain Caleb, Captain Scott, Captain Dean, as the game's going on. And first text is right before our show ended, he goes, from Captain Scott, I already turned John's shows off, so excited watching the game. Then just talking about like, I thought center field was a priority. I mean, just real good baseball talk, never a doubt, you know, good old-fashioned group text. But let me go to the text group with
The In the Loop crew?
The In the Loop
what
crew.
What would you name our group chat?
I'll have to come up with a good one on that.
The Closer.
No. I'll just put it this way. I won't go through the text.
Oh, what? You going to say that there's not strong baseball talk happening in there?
Texting with Figgy and Reggie during a baseball game or any big game.
Don't put it on Figgy because, you know, you
told. Oh, yeah.
Go, I want the smoke. Go ahead. Directed in my direction.
It's like listening to a philosophy lecture. Or
yeah, that definitely ain't me.
Or a statistics class. Reggie, like, we're like, hey, man, you know, whatever, the, you know, all, commenting on all the things happening on the field. And Reggie's like, well, the expected batting, what is expected hit rate?
Yeah, expected batting average.
Batting average on that hard hit ball by Christian Walker was 720.
And you I just thought it was a good note.
I'm like, dude, he hit an out. He lined out. He's out.
Yeah, but not all outs are made the same, though.
And then he did the same thing with Cam Smith. I'm thinking like, Cam Smith got a hit. Yeah. He swung a little bit late.
Well, no, and he got that from data. He got that from a website, like where he's... Where
oh, no, the bat. Cam one, that was... We just...
I thought you saw something that you talked about.
I actually need to go and double check that and see the baseball savant.
Dude. I'm like, man, Cam got his first hit, first pitch, and he swung a little bit late on that one.
Yeah, the numbers say that he was this, and this. I'm like, dude, let's just talk ball.
Well, in a way, I'm kind of being lazy because I was just using that as my like de facto note taking. So like I was just texting it to you guys when I probably should have just written it down in my notes. Yeah. But I also thought it was an interesting note. Like he hit the mess out of that ball.
I kind
of
like
most times
it, man.
I would have been.
I kind of like it for the simple fact that I don't really talk like that whenever I'm talking sports.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that one person that
he's that one person.
Yeah,
he's that one person. And yes, I while I appreciate it ultimately because we end up talking about it on the show, I'm like, dude, we're just texting. We're just talking about the game.
I'll take it elsewhere. My bad.
No, don't stop. Don't stop.
Yeah, that's
doing
what I'm saying. I like it.
That's the other part of this.
You can text me about it.
Oh, now he's going to punish us.
Yeah.
Now he's
this is going elsewhere. You don't want my stats? I'll take them elsewhere.
All those nerdy stats.
Somebody else wants these stats.
Man, he almost got that. Well, actually, the catch rate was 96%. I'm like, catch probability. I'm like, dude.
No, but in an instance like that, it is good to know. Because like, oh, man, he really shouldn't got to that. And then you go, actually, if you look at it, they probably, you know, most outfielders don't actually get to that in a majority of the time. And you're able to give them a little leeway, you know.
And Captain Scott's over there talking crap. And Captain Dean is like, oh, this is great. And he's like, I felt like don't change, first of all. Don't change texting us. But Reggie's that guy. He's the
I like it, man.
He's the nerd, stats data geek.
I'm gonna start copying and pasting on my Twitter. Like,
see, now I'm definitely
more to the PPR.
Definitely not sending you text now.
I'm gonna sound smart as hell.
Done here.
I'm gonna sound smart as hell.
Reggie is the person I sit next to in class and cheat off his paper.
All right, you're assuming that all these things were absolutely smart. Like that's why I send the text. We trying stuff out. We seeing how you feel about it.
Hey, it sounds smart.
Yeah.
These are my confessions.
I will also have an opening day confession.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand something about baseball.
Okay.
And that is, why did we not have wall-to-wall baseball yesterday?
Was it because of the tournament?
But the tournament games were in the evening.
Well, like, I thought you meant wall-to-wall like all night.
Well, I mean, we could have started in the day.
Yeah.
Like day baseball feels like, opening day feels like a day baseball day.
Used to be every game was... During the afternoon.
It should be a day thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Unless it's like a Sunday night, opening Sunday night or something like that.
I think we had like a couple of early day games and then we had like most of the games in that like 3 o'clock slot where the Astros were. And I was like, I feel like we could have had some more baseball games in the middle there where, you know, all day long. And maybe they were just.
I agree.
They were looking out for America and hoping, trying to make sure that productivity stayed high because I imagine we would have all just been watching baseball all day.
Yeah.
But that feels like a good time to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't disagree. I think that's a good confession right there. That's kind of silly to have. By the way, from the 346, I can just see Figgy texting back, oh, word, on all those numbers and
I bet there was probably two texts that were basically oh word.
Yeah.
I felt like that person know me pretty well.
These are my confessions.
So yesterday I tried hot yoga for the first time.
Oh, I meant to ask you.
You look like a different man, Figgy. I see it.
Yeah. It was very intense, I ain't gonna lie. But
I actually enjoyed it, man. It was actually pretty cool, man.
You survived.
I survived. And I will say, I know for a fact I was the rookie in this class.
Okay.
Because all them people just knew exactly what to do. This wasn't like a beginner's class.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, go in and try to swim.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm over here looking like, I was kind of looking like Will Smith in, what's that episode of Fresh Prince? When he went to go see Ed Viv dance or something like
that. Oh,
yes. And he's just kind of.
Looking all over the place. That's how I was trying to copy the lady next to me, next see how she doing. And then they got on all fours, backwards. I'm like, oh, I ain't doing that one. I would just act like I'm meditating.
Right,
I'm going to sit here like I'm meditating. But it was pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. The guy, the teacher there, he asked what I do for a living. I told him work at radio, 610, all that stuff. He said he used to listen to 610. He used to listen to a show with Nick Wright and John Lopez.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah.
I used to listen to that show, too.
Yeah.
What made him stop?
Yeah.
He's like, my favorite person left. And
yeah,
Actually, that's exactly what he said.
Wow.
He said, yeah, when Nick Wright went to FS1, then I was like, yeah, I just, that's when I stopped listening.
Well, I appreciate
but he
that.
He said he going to listen. Hey, shout out to Casey.
Shout out to Casey.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he going to start back listening.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I'm no Nick Wright, I'll tell you that.
These are my confessions.
I had one of those mixed emotion dad moments last night. So the last time, like the best way I can illustrate it is like the first time your kid beats you in one-on-one basketball. You're kind of mad, but you're also like really proud.
Sure.
Last night, I went to my oldest son Jacob's house for dinner, and he made from scratch like a three-course Chinese food meal.
Mm.
Like fried rice, lobster, you know, I think it was like a Szechuan lobster, pork belly.
Ooh.
I mean, he went, and he just loves to cook. He's got the gene, man. He just loves to cook.
Man, I have to invite him over to the crib, you know, man.
And that was my moment. I went like, I could never do this. I can, you know, obviously I love to cook. I do a lot of barbecue, a lot of other stuff. I've never been good at Chinese food. And it was like, dude, it was like you top-notch Chinese food restaurant from scratch. And I sat there and I'm like, he beat me. He beat me on this one. I'm mad, but I'm kind of proud. It's like last time. It's like when he beat me in one-on-one basketball. It was excellent. Like just name your favorite Chinese food restaurant. Is that good or better?
That's awesome.
And I was kind of mad, but proud.
But now you just gotta use it to your advantage where you just ask him to make you stuff all the time.
Well, now he can do all the Chinese food. Anytime we go down that road, I'll do everything else. You just do the Chinese.
Let him do some barbecue and all that stuff, man.
He's getting there with
barbecue. That's why he feels okay.
Man, look at,
he feels
look
okay because he ain't coming taking your
okay. Well, he's not me.
He's more of a griller than a smoker, and you got to take your game to the next level with smoke, and he's working on it. I patted him on the head and said, good job.
When he said
he's going to pass you up in a minute. Watch.
When he said he's a griller and not a smoker, I was like, oh, okay, so I'm well out of my depth because I thought those were relatively close.
Yeah, that is insane.
I was like, oh, my bad. I did not realize I was talking about two different sports. Apologies.
These are my confessions.
I'm going to be completely honest here, as is the, you know, segment. There's been like a trend on social media where there's another like AI filter or whatever that is like the Studio Ghibli filter, if you're familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that that studio of films or what have you, where people are taking images and putting them in and processing them. And I've learned something about myself. I get irrationally angry seeing people use AI all willy-nilly. Like, I understand, man. It takes a lot of resources. And I get it, right? It's a developing mm-hmm. kind of tool.
Yeah.
And so with a developing tool, you know, you want to use it and develop it. But I feel like with the amount of resources, you should probably use it for things that make sense and things that are like useful.
Not yet.
Just like
right now, it's just fun.
I have this photo and I want to put a filter on it.
Yeah.
Well, there are filters that don't utilize like crazy amounts of resources. They're like, nope, doing the AI, just do it.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. Like there's other instances where people will ask like AI a question. I'm like, you could have just Googled that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that didn't need a full artificial intelligence. All you needed was just a basic search. Mm-hmm.
Somebody did that to my tweet one time because I forgot what I tweeted, mm-hmm. but they retweeted me back and said, hey, Gronk, or whatever the thing.
Gronk?
Yeah.
I like the idea that Gronk is the one answering these questions.
He said, hey, Gronk, How many da 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 da?
Yeah.
And then the thing replied and gave him the answer. I'm like, why you ain't just Google that and come back to me?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so now you clearly showing me that you had to Google this information.
Yeah.
So you could have just came back with the stats.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this?
I like, this is silly, but I like to use AI for creating images that are bizarre.
Okay, so it's you.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
Hey, AI, can you make me an image of a dog fishing for a manatee? And it'll come up with some in
it. Just to get your kicks? You're not even using it for nothing?
Isn't that funny? Look at a dog's catching a manatee. Yeah.
Why don't you ask AI to make a picture of Taylor Swift doing something?
No, I'm not going to do that.
I would advise it. I'll tell you that.
Attaboy.
For sure. All right. Those are your Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. Somebody said, why was Chaz McCormick put in right field? It seems like that's something that I find to be very interesting. I'd want to circle back around and actually talk about that. But it seems like Joe Espada, and this is probably why he kept five infield or outfielders rather, mm-hmm. seems like the possibility of defensive replacements is going to be very high, especially.
And it has been.
Yeah. And it looks like it's getting higher, especially when you have a young guy in right field and a guy who is a little bit, you know, up and down in left field, depending on what it looks like defensively. So, yeah it's going to be something to watch over the course of the season. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Rockets have been on quite a surge through a place that they absolutely should, but they've been on a surge. What's been the key to that? Because I've noticed a couple of statistical things that we could point to, and I kind of want to dig into like what the actuality of those stats are. We'll do that. Next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. The Rockets on a big surge in the last handful of games. They've won 11 of their last 12, including their game last night against the Utah Jazz in Utah. And I was interested. I was like, man, they've been cooking, and you can kind of see it. But I kind of wanted to get to what's at the heart of it. Like, what's at the heart of the surge? And if you have any thoughts on what you've seen the Rockets really tick up on over the last 10 or so games, text it in 713-572-4610. Lopez, you don't have to text. You can just talk.
I'll talk.
I was like, if you want to text too, you can. But that'd be a little roundabout.
You're Reggie.
And unnecessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for me, obviously they won this game. What was it, 121-110, if memory serves correctly. A solid win. And we talked about some of the things that we saw, especially from your two guys that you just paid up in Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green. And one of these guys absolutely factors into one of this. Him, Jabari Smith Jr., a large part for Steven Adams, who's currently, he's moving towards having the best offensive rebounding percentage in a season of any player. Rebounding has been huge. They've ticked back up on that. You remember there was a time period in the season where they lulled a little bit on rebounding.
Yeah.
You saw that kind of come back to the field in some ways. They were having some issues winning some games in that time.
Mm-hmm.
They have been rebounding at a special rate of late, including that game last night where they out-rebounded the Jazz by something like 20 boards.
I think it was like 18 to 5 or something on the offense. It was a lot to a little. But the offensive rebounds were strong last night, which is their calling card as well.
Right. So they're getting back to basics there. And the other thing that I noticed was another getting back to basics moment for this team, which is, this team has been really, really good in the clutch, but specifically in the clutch, they've been really good defensively in the clutch. All right, so when it comes to defensive rating, and defensive rating is like a measure of basically your points allowed per possession for the other team in a very basic metric on average for a game. What would you consider to be like a pretty solid defensive rating?
Well, you tell me. What is the mean?
I mean, right now, probably you're probably in like the hundreds, and if you get into like the high 90s or what have you, it's usually kind of reasonable. And of course, this skews a little bit when you get into these smaller subsets. The clutch time, mind you, is the final 5 minutes of a game, particularly if it's within a 5-point game, right? In those clutch moments over the last 10 games, a 75 defense rating. They have been stifling defensively versus their opponents in this stretch. And it's worth noting that in the last 10 games, they haven't had a lot of really top-notch competition. Probably the best of those was the Denver Nuggets, which they lost that game. It's the one that they lost
without
out of the last 12,
yeah.
which no Jokic, which that was a little bit of a disappointment in there. However, they've been incredible defensively late in games. And I think that if you pair those two things, the offensive rebounding, getting back up, and then their defense being great, particularly in the clutch, mm-hmm. I think that those point to, or at least I'm kind of locking those into what we've seen Ime Udoka do with the double big lineups and with the zone defense.
Well, thank you for that last part, because, you know, you talk about, okay, what's been the difference here? Outside of the competition, which you have to note, you know, that it's been not exactly the best competition, but nevertheless.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to use it to knock them down.
Yeah, right? Exactly. 11 out of 12 doesn't lie. For me, it's been, and this isn't just on Ime Udoka, but it's largely him. Like, we always talk about, you know, how in basketball you have to adjust, in series you have to adjust, how difficult it can be. I'm talking more philosophically, you know, how tough it is 50, 60 games into a season to change the way you do things. And I think that's been the key. You know, we can point to several specific things that Udoka and the Rockets have kind of realized, again, 50 or 60 games into the season, that they've just flat changed the way they do business. You know, the double big thing gets a lot of run. That was relatively late in the game. I mean, they tinkered with it here and there, but it was relatively late in the game, in the season, when they really started relying on that. Then Jabari Smith, you know, becoming a bigger factor, including, you know, inside and out. Then playing some zone defenses, which is another one that, you know, it's hard to just philosophically change 60 games into a season, but they did. And then also the individual part, the credit that you have to give is Jalen Green was riding this up and down roller coaster, seems to be finding himself as a true, not necessarily a point guard, but a kind of a floor general, or at least developing into more of a floor general.
Well, a little bit more of a playmaker is the
playmaker
way I
probably is
probably
a better
it.
Way to put it, because he recognizes like the next play that's possible, not just the play in front of him, and that's really hard. So they've sort of transformed themselves deep into the season, and they're benefiting from it. To me, that's been the biggest key, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of the transformation, one of the things that's also worth noting is Ime Udoka was not a huge proponent of the zone. Funny enough, I'm not really a huge proponent mm-hmm. of a zone. Like, I kind of tend to the school of thought that you go to a zone when you feel like you can't guard a man, mm-hmm. which is almost like an acknowledgement of not being good enough in some ways, which I mean, it's a flawed way of looking at it, but I think you understand where I'm coming from mm-hmm. when I do that. They've gone to a lot of zones, so mm-hmm. there is something within me that goes, ooh, is that some level of acknowledgement that, hey, their perimeter defense has not been solid enough, or they haven't been able to kind of be a backstop. But one thing that it clearly does when you have a zone in is that you're going to stifle. It's going to make it significantly more difficult for teams to drive through your defense and mm-hmm. get to the rim because you have someone stationed there. And they found a way to also take the zone and still play a solid perimeter defense on top of that. Plus, now you have your bigs in the place to get rebounds, and I think that all those things have allowed them to focus back in on the things that get them better to, you know, get them playing their best basketball and get them to the things that are their calling cards, which are rebounding the basketball, playing defense, and those are the things that are going to carry them over. And I think that this might be something that helps them when they get into matchup time, which mm-hmm. is the playoffs.
And see, I have a totally different view of the zone than that.
Okay.
Because I feel like certain teams are just built more for a zone defense. You're not less manly. I think that's what it comes down to. Like, you're sort of like, oh, it's kind of what you said. Oh, we're not good enough mm-hmm. or we're not man enough to play man defense.
Not man enough.
Yeah.
It's in the name. It's man defense.
But to me, that's.
You saying there ain't no real men out there?
No.
Not if you're not, picking up one up.
That's what people think. But that certain teams are built better for a zone than the man, especially teams that can close fast, that can clearly clog a lane, make, you know, as you just mentioned, sort of make it hard to dribble, and can recover when the ball is swung to the opposite side. Well, the Rockets are built for that. They're athletic. They have athletic. I mean, everybody is in the NBA, but I'm saying on the wings, in those situations, they can do those things. You know, I wish I could tell everybody, you know, you're not less of a man because you run zone. You know, you're first of all, does it work? Who cares if you're less of a man? Because it works and you're winning. And secondly, your team might be built better for that. And I think the Rockets are maybe built better for that.
The one thing I'll say is I don't think you can subsist off of a zone.
No, you can't. You can do anything, you know, every time down the floor. But I think certain teams can thrive with the zone.
And I think for me, you're not going to change my mind on that. Like, I hear you on that. I hear what you're coming from. And I do respect, or at least I'm trying to be better about respecting it. I mean, we've seen really good coaches you know, consistently use various zones mm-hmm. as, you know, kind of curveballs. Like Nick Nurse has made a lot of his bones as a coach, throwing out not just a zone, but like kind of unique zones, throwing out a triangle and two and things like mm-hmm. that in various circumstances. So I understand the place that a zone has, especially when you're trying to find schematic advantages. The only thing that for me is that this team has really good individual defenders. And so that should lend itself to playing man. And at times it felt like that was slipping a little bit. And I see the zone coming through and helping them re-solidify the defense in a strong way. And I think also it's helping them get a better grasp of some of the defensive principles that they were a little bit kind of mm-hmm. light around the edges on. Like you talk about getting into rotation and flying out. I think that the zone helps clarify some of your responsibilities there, where when you're in rotation and man, it's like, well, who's run out to the corner and then who's on the second pass, who's on the pass away? Yeah. Sometimes they would get in a little bit of a funk in there. I think the zone has helped them really bring that in a little bit.
I mean, sometimes they've had big lulls when they're in the man, of whether it's focus or effort or whatever it is. And the other part of it is, and I don't mean to make this like a zone versus man discussion, because
well, it is now, and I'm on the man side. You better be picking up the zone
because it's about what's changed for the Rockets and what's made the move. I think that's it. I think that's a big part of it. That and the other things I mentioned, and I think, you know, finding a nice offense, not just a defense with the double bigs. You know, it's working on both ends, and the offensive side has been very productive.
Dude, I want to talk about how much I love the double bigs, and this is another opportunity to heap some praise on some dudes that I think we've been a little bit critical of, but in a way that because they're getting better and there's still room to grow.
Yeah,
Alper Şengün has been so good passing.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about
in that space. Like, because when you're playing the double bigs, if there one has to be a bigger big mm-hmm. than the other, Steven Adams is the guy who's usually a little bit deeper. Playing as the, you know, on the block where Alperen is maybe playing at the high post or what have you. Mm-hmm. He's been so good at getting the ball, making a decision on whether it's his turn to attack or whether he needs to attack and then dump that off or pass out of it. Especially in this, you saw it in the Jazz game especially, but he's been so good in that space mm-hmm. and that's put real pressure on defenses in a different way. And then you look at it on the other end, is it just gives more rebounding prowess and more opportunities to get the boards. And then stop possessions, turn it the other way, and go get points. So I really love what the team on the floor has done. When you talk about Jalen, you talk about Alperen, and then a lot of the other guys around them, right, guys on the wing. But also, I think that a lot of credit needs to be given to Ime, who, again, Will Hardy, who mm-hmm. is the coach of the Utah Jazz. He was the lead assistant in Boston for Ime when he was the coach there.
Yeah.
He talked about how he tried to convince Ime to use more zones. And mm-hmm. So, like, this has been a real development in him. I love the growth that is also being displayed on the coaching staff with the bench, as you've seen over this last stretch of games. And so 8 more games to go. Their next game is against the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix on Sunday. And let's see a fantastic quality run. I want to see them continue surging right up to the playoffs and give themselves an opportunity to make a little noise.
And last thing, postseason. You know, the individual development over the course of the season, and some of it has been not totally in their hands. It's been the coaches, it's been injuries, it's been everything else. Steven Adams has just been an absolute game changer for this squad. I mean, just absolute next level game changer, and that's going to go a long way. And Jabari deserves a lot of credit for changing his role and his place on both ends
and finding ways to get better at it.
Yeah.
Like finding the aggression within it, right? The ways in which I need to go now or no, I don't need to go now. He's definitely sussed that out. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, a letter from Cal McNair. And also, something else have gotten us to a place where we're looking up and we go, the Texans might be thinking about like moving locations away from the NRG location. What are all the what ifs when it comes to Texans stadium relocation in the greater Houston area? Let's talk about that next.